How are we supposed to navigate our desires, fears, and longing for purpose when our culture claims that we're just born a certain way and can't help it? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Pastor Christopher Eskett. Learn more about Disordered at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
This Easter, from our family to yours, we wish you health, hope, joy, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding.
Happy Easter, everyone. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Of course, since that time, the Catholic universities have all become secularized. While the dogma of the Catholic Church has no sway in those institutions, the dogma of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, cannot be questioned.
The church year is just like the Apostles' Creed, stretched out over 365 days.
All of me matters to him. I can rejoice in his unbelievable love for all of me that he expressed when he died and rose. And he has saved us, rescued us, body and soul.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
Our listeners have questions and comments about a number of topics, including Zoom Bible studies. I believe I'd said something last week or the week before last about discouraging Zoom Bible studies now that I think we can safely say COVID is over. They also would like to know about fasting and almsgiving and the resurrection of unbelievers. What becomes of unbelievers' bodies? Are they raised to an eternity in their bodies for eternal death? It's listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line on this Monday, April the 17th. After we're done with that, we'll spend some time in our series responding to Roman Catholic proof text today, The Sacrifice of the Mass, with Dr. Stephen Parks. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Esther is not happy with you, Pastor Wilkin. Esther writes, I would like for you to reconsider your instruction to pastors to stop doing Zoom Bible studies. You did say that very clearly three times. Your reason was, quote, we don't need to anymore, end quote. I am sure many listeners are included in the we who don't need to Zoom in, but consider all of us seniors whose diminishing eyesight prevents us from driving at night. Consider the nursing home resident who rolls her wheelchair over to share her Bible class with her unchurched roommate, eager to learn more about Jesus, or the mother whose husband has been deployed overseas and whose young children need to be in bed during the Bible class, or the husband who never leaves house at night because of his wife's advancing Alzheimer's, etc. Zoom is a wonderful blessing to come out of the pandemic. Don't take us back to the old days when only the young, healthy people could benefit from Bible classes. Pastors, please do not stop doing Zoom Bible studies. They are a lifeline to all who cannot get there in person. Thanks for your feedback. Thanks for listening, Esther.
And I understand your objection, Esther. And I did not mean to include those cases where a Zoom Bible study is used to include people who cannot physically be there or who are distant or in some other ways they are prevented. Like you said, driving at night. I hate driving at night. The older I get, the more I dislike it. So I completely understand your concern there. The context of that statement that I was making was in response to a listener who was having some trouble at their congregation. I think their pastors were kind of being unresponsive. They were seeking, if I'm not mistaken, seeking some instruction, and they were decrying the fact that the only offerings that were given were Zoom Bible studies, as though we were all still isolated in our homes. And I understand that that's awfully convenient for pastors to say, let's just have a Zoom Bible study and nobody needs to get up and actually come to church. There are exceptions to every rule. When I say pastors stop doing Zoom Bible studies, I probably should have nuanced it and said when, unless absolutely necessary. Because what you're offering people when you say, well, we don't have to actually get together, we can just have a Zoom Bible study, when they could get together, is less than optimal. I'll give you an example. I Zoom with my brothers and my father almost every Sunday. Sometimes I'm on for a little while. Sometimes I'm on for the whole 2 hours or hour and a half. It all depends on what's going on Sunday afternoon. They all live within a reasonable driving distance of one another, but we started this thing during COVID so that we could all kind of catch up with each other, and it's lasted for now 3 years. I have no intention of ending that Zoom meeting with my brothers and my father. Now, I happen to live 10 hours away, 11 hours away from where they all live, so I'm really the one Zooming in here. They're kind of actually, I don't think they think of it this way, but they're kind of actually just doing it for me. A lot for Dad, but then some for Todd because he can't be there. If they wanted to all get together on Sunday afternoon at Dad's house, they could easily do it. One of them actually lives in Dad's house, and he still Zooms in from a different room than Dad so he can have his own screen. So I would not stop doing that. But if we all lived in the same town, just think about it this way. If we all lived in the same town, does it make a lot of sense nowadays? Dad still drives, they still drive. It's all, we're getting older, but not that old. Would it make a lot of sense just to Zoom every Sunday afternoon or to just get together? Now, if that's the case in just a family get together, then shouldn't it be the case when we gather together around God's word? Ordinarily, unless it's necessary, this ought to be in person. Before Zoom came along, we would not have conceived of this. And I agree with you. Zoom is a great blessing that kind of was there waiting for the pandemic, and it flourished, and it's made a lot of things easier for us, more convenient for us. And for those who cannot be there, it should be available. But ordinarily, when we gather around God's word, we ought to actually gather around God's word. And it's really kind of the edge of an iceberg that has overtaken the church of kind of this virtual church practice that a lot of churches have just decided, okay, I guess we're not going to stream the service just so the shut-ins can be there. And there are good reasons for streaming the service. Had a pastor in here several weeks ago saying, well, we stream the service, and that's a way that people can kind of shop our church without actually showing up. They can see what it is that's happening there in a very safe way, and that's good. Sooner or later, though, you want them to actually start gathering with the other believers in church. You want them to do that. So I think that's the principle that applies.
Here's an email from Joe. It's in regards to your last interview with Chris Roseborough on Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing. He said, a comment for Chris Roseborough about Jerry Savelle. How can a Lutheran reconcile giving and God responding afterwards versus a Lutheran idea of actions having no merit? Cornelius prayed, fasted, and gave alms. The angel that came to him did not say, your alms have no merit. He said, your prayer has been heard and your alms remembered in the sight of God. Obviously, we do not control God through our tithing, but God does acknowledge prayer, fasting, and giving alms and responds favorably according to his will. A standard Lutheran response is not helpful here. It discourages fasting and almsgiving, which are always combined with prayer and hope. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the email, Joe.
I think Pastor Roseborough would be the first to agree with you, especially on the basis of that passage, that God, in his great mercy, recognizes these things, not as meritorious in themselves, but as signs of what? As signs of faith. What God recognizes in Cornelius is not some guy just kind of, I'm going to do this and see if God responds, which is exactly what Savelle teaches. You give the money, it's not really connected to faith anyway, and God is not only will respond, he's obligated to respond to you. And Jerry Savelle's response, if nothing happens, if God doesn't respond, is, well, you didn't give enough. Oh, by the way, make the check out to, my last name is spelled S-A-V-E-L-L-E, right? So that's what Chris was responding to. But I think Chris would be the first to say, in the case of Cornelius, these are demonstrations of his faith. He's not seeking to merit something before God. He is fasting, almsgiving, praying. This is good Christian piety, that these things in and of themselves merit nothing, but what God rewards there is Cornelius's faith. He answers his prayer. And Chris would also be the first to recognize that God promises to reward those good works that are done in faith, both here and in eternity. The standard Christian response, as you call it, which is, well, since fasting is not strictly commanded and since almsgiving is, there's no merit set on it, it really makes no difference. That's not actually the standard Lutheran response. The standard Lutheran response, if you look at those issues in the Lutheran confessions, is that fasting and outward preparation is certainly good bodily preparation, but when it comes to the Lord's Supper, those things have their place, says Luther. But what is worthy is faith in these words, or faith in the words of Christ. In the case of the Lord's Supper, those words of promise, this is my body, this is my blood given for you. And in the case of all the other promises of God, whatever the promise may be, faith in those things. And the Lutheran confessions are abundantly clear that God rewards good works done in faith, not because of the works themselves, but for Christ's sake, both temporally and eternally.
Please be sure to add Chris Roseborough to your prayer list. Chris broke his ankle on Easter Sunday night. And also add issues that said our guest, Dr. Albert Mohler. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend.
He was hospitalized.
There's no briefing episode today. That's Dr. Mohler's podcast. Dr. Mohler was hospitalized over the weekend with a diagnosis of blood clots in the lungs and is still recovering. He received excellent care and responded well to treatment. He looks forward to returning to a regular briefing schedule in coming days. So please remember Chris Roseborough, Pastor Chris Roseborough, and Dr. Albert Mohler in your prayers. Bruce Conover, North Carolina. I found your interview with Dr. Jeff Gibbs on the bodily resurrection very enlightening. A typical Issues Etc. broadcast that stretched my understanding and love for God's Word. Since both the just and the unjust are raised on the day of judgment, does this mean that those who are not saved will also spend eternity in hell with the physical body? That's a great question, Bruce. Thanks for listening in North Carolina.
That's the only conclusion that we can reach. That's the conclusion that we are left with based on what Scripture clearly teaches about the general resurrection. That is, all the dead are raised. Some are raised, as the apostle teaches, some are raised to eternal life and others to eternal torment, eternal death. Is this a fearful and disturbing prospect? Yes, it is. Which is why Jesus warns so often in his teaching and in his parables against unbelief and against the kind of unbelief that would bar someone from entering eternal life and would leave them to eternal death. It's a fearful prospect. And yes, the resurrection of all flesh means, the way I was taught in the seminary, the unbelievers are not raised to eternal life per se, because what they are raised to, although they are raised, it does not in God's mind qualify as life, but in fact rather eternal death, or as we confess, perish eternally. We'll be right back with more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
I ain't got time to take no fasting. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
How are we supposed to navigate our desires, fears, and longing for purpose when our culture claims that we're just born a certain way and can't help it? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Pastor Christopher Eskett. Learn more about Disordered at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good fitting. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc. If only we could see and hear what takes place in the divine service. The holy God's voice pours out eternal gifts. Sinners are washed in cleansing water that saves them from death. The Son of God gives his body and blood for us, the food of immortality. The church on earth blends her voice with angels and saints in glory to praise our God. These wondrous mysteries take place at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Stevensville, Montana, 184 Pine Hollow Road. Call 406-777-5625 or find us on Facebook.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait,
wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman, look and see.
Oh, thanks to yeah. Carl in Nashville, Tennessee, Pamela in Des Plaines, Illinois, and Kathy, Elizabeth, and Caleb in St. Peter, Illinois, for recently registering for the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. The registration fee is $160. That includes three meals. You can save money and avoid Chicago traffic by booking an on-campus dorm room. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling Lutheran Public Radio 618-223-8385. Making the Case June 16th and 17th in River Forest, Illinois. Are we almost full?
Yes, we're getting very, I think we're at like 440.
So this is the time, if you're waiting to pull the trigger, this, I know it seems like it's kind of a distance off, but we are going to sell out quickly. We're going to sell out soon. And once we're sold out, we might have a waiting list. We'll certainly have a waiting list for people who've
done
no
shows.
But there's no guarantee on that waiting list. So now's the time.
You know, I was thinking, I just heard that last commercial coming out of this break, Dial It Podcast. I was thinking about Esther's first email. Dial a podcast about the Zoom Bible studies. What a great idea that this is. So do you remember, like, you could call your local library? There was a number when we were kids growing up and they'd read a story or something like that, or Portals of Prayer. You could call and like,
yeah, back when libraries were safe spaces for children.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So Dial a Podcast is a great idea where you could take your pastor's sermons and people like the shut-ins can dial a toll-free number and listen to the sermons on their phones. That is ingenious. That's a great idea.
Well, it's using kind of old technology, and people who are not necessarily familiar with new technology will find it challenging. It's using old technology in a really, really efficient and thoughtful way.
So you can learn more about Dial A Podcast at dialapodcast.com, dialapodcast.com. And you can listen to Pastor Whedon's daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, via Dial A Podcast. I love great ideas. I wish I had a few more.
It wasn't our idea.
No, we never have good ideas. We steal everybody else's.
We've had a few. But generally speaking, we've just stolen other people's good ideas.
Pure plagiarism. Deborah, David Peterson, in the discussion upon the cross extended, a hymn study at 41:39 mark, differentiates between justification and sanctification and says that when we are sanctified, we are actively making choices, have free will, and the ability to not sin and do good works. I have read Lutheran Church Missouri Synod literature that says sanctification is monergistic and not synergistic. I am completely confused about free will and sanctification. Perhaps Brian Wolfmiller and Brian Katchemeyer could weigh in and give a good explanation on sanctification and free will on their Answering Your Questions discussion. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Deborah.
Let's put that one on the list for the Bryans. And I think what you've heard is a caricature or a mischaracterization of Lutheran teaching. And it's quite common. But on salvation, Lutherans are monergistic. It means only one person does the work, and that is God. When it comes to your salvation, your justification, your conversion to the Christian faith, bringing you to the Christian faith, saving faith, God alone acts. He acts upon you. He doesn't believe for you, but he does work that faith in you solely by his Holy Spirit working through the Word. The same Holy Spirit working through the Word elicits the cooperation, albeit the very weak cooperation, of the now believer in sanctification. This is why we hold that distinction between justification and sanctification, where we never separate them, but we always distinguish between them. And those who would assert wrongly, contrary to both Scripture and the Lutheran confessions, that sanctification is also monergistic, does not involve any action by the believer or their will, and that's contrary to the Lutheran confessions and to Scripture, they are confusing justification and sanctification. They're confusing the two. They're applying to sanctification what is proper only to justification. They're doing it overreacting to the other side of the horse, which is trying to apply to sanctification what is proper only to justification, trying to bring good works into justification. But you don't prevent that confusion by introducing another, which is applying to sanctification what is proper to justification. The Lutheran confessions are abundantly clear on this. Anyone who's taken, especially our pastors, who has taken a vow to uphold their teachings should know better than to say sanctification involves no cooperation on the part of the believer. Because, and I have, if you anybody wants it, I have abundant quotations, as is my usual way of doing things. I have abundant quotations from the Lutheran confessions making that specific case. They are aware of this potential for this error. I'm just going to read one. This is from the Solid Declaration. It really makes it quite clear. It gets the teaching of Scripture beautifully clear. Since the Holy Ghost dwells in the elect who have become believers, they've already become believers, as in his temple, and is not idle in them, but impels the children of God to obedience to God's commands, believers, here's the key thing, believers likewise should not be idle, and much less resist the impulses of the Holy Spirit, but should exercise themselves in all Christian virtues, in all godliness, modesty, temperance, patience, brotherly love, and give all diligence to make their calling and election sure, in order they may doubt the less concerning it, and the more they experience the power and strength of the Holy Spirit within them. Just as the Holy Spirit is not idle in believers, this is a solid declaration, believers themselves should not be idle either. That means they should, as it says, exercise themselves in all Christian virtues. Do they do this somehow by their own will? No. The Holy Spirit, dwelling in believers, begin to obey God's commandments, not perfectly. And they do it solely by the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Withdraw the Spirit and the Word, and those good works disappear, and that will to do good works disappears. But it is the will of the believer that has changed. And you mentioned Pastor Wolf Miller. I love the way he puts it. He says the Holy Spirit does not destroy the human will. He converts the human will. Christians have, as the Lutheran confessions say, new impulses and a new will given as a gift by the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to confuse justification and sanctification either way by importing into justification things that are proper only to sanctification, or on the other side, by importing into sanctification things that are proper only to justification.
Pastor Whedon filled in for you admirably last week on what's your favorite Easter hymn and why. And I forgot, we had a great vote via the comment line that we forgot to play. Can we play that now?
Absolutely.
Hi, my name is Joshua. I live in West Dundee, Illinois. My favorite Easter hymn is He's Risen, He's Risen, because it teaches us that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Bye.
Well, that was marvelous. That was just marvelous.
I was killing myself. We finished that, and I was a little stressed because we had a different host in. And Pastor Whedon, he's very, what would you say?
Quirky?
We'll just say, Well, yes, quirky, but in the case of Hosey, very energetic.
Caffeinated?
Yeah.
He doesn't
if he doesn't have a script.
He doesn't reduce your anxiety, right?
No. Well, and to be
fair. He did a great job.
To be fair, I was completely unavailable, so we were not able to, I was not able to host for that day. And to my knowledge, I don't think Will has ever sat in this chair doing this thing, the live mic, without a host being traffic cop.
I think so, you're right. We put reached out to Dr. Ken Sherb. He's usually our backup, and he was unable on Wednesday and Thursday of last week.
And we put him in that position of being, you know, host and traffic cop, which I've done for 25 years, so it's not a lot of work for me, but that's not how he usually interacts in the studio. He usually is in the studio for a certain amount of time, either as the guest, or he has his beautifully written scripts for the word of the Lord endures forever, and is able to work that way. Everybody's got their talents in this thing, but it sounds like he did well.
Was that caller Joshua Craig? Is that his
Joshua?
Name? Joshua, you get the recording of 13 Easter hymns featuring Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Have your mom or dad call us at 618-223-8385 or shoot an email with your address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for voting.
All right. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Stephen Parks. He joins us again for our series responding to the Roman Catholic proof text. Today we'll be talking about the sacrifice of the Mass. When Jesus says, do this, does he really mean offer this, as in offer this sacrifice? Stay tuned. That you do. I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Concordia University, Chicago.
I'm going to die. Every one of us is going to die. At the time of death, the Christian faces so many assaults. We think about the death of loved ones that causes, at times, unspeakable grief. We can be assaulted by the regret over the things that we have failed to do. We wonder about the future. What will happen to loved ones? Where shall we for refuge go? To Christ, who is the resurrection and the life.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for a dying man's consolation Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Martin Luther tended to view the world through the three estates, the family, the church, and the state. The family provides the fundamental unit of society. In the church, God makes Christians, and in the state, he governs for the good of his people, his church. Well, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ affects our life in all three of these estates, and that's the topic of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. To learn more, visit cph.org/witness or visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.